I get you to grab your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. In just a moment, we're going to look at some verses in John chapter 14. But as we set this up, I want to get you to kind of think of something. I don't know about you, but there's some things that I think this is the way it has to happen. Like if this is going to happen, this is the way it's got to be done. And when we start to think about the way, I want you to kind of put some thoughts into your head here. I remember growing up every single Sunday. I grew up as a boy in church. Every single Sunday, I was there, morning, night, Wednesday night. If there was a special called meeting, I was there. If there was a service project, if there was a work day, I went to church. My parents forced me, made me go to church. See, it works out that, like kind of like this, all right? But here, I remember growing up, every Sunday after church, we'd get in the car and go heading home, and I would find out that as without fail, every single Sunday, if there was a guest in service that day, my parents had them come to our house to eat a meal. And then as a kid, four boys in the house, man, some days I was just like, there's got to be a different way. Like, I got to still be good. I can't take off my church clothes. I got to sit at the table and eat with my manners and sit up straight and talk to people. And man, I was thinking, man, there's got to be a different way of doing this. Why can't we just go, you know, take somebody out to eat? Or why can't we just talk to people at church who are new and just get to know them there? And I remember thinking how frustrated, there are times where I was frustrated that I had to sit there and be good for our guests, somebody different every single week. But I look back on that and think, what a cool way for my parents to minister. They weren't the pastor. My dad was a deacon of the church, but he cared and wanted to get to know people and wanted to make relationships. And he taught a Sunday school class, so that enabled to help fill his class with people that he cared about, knew, had over his house for a meal. I thought, man, that's kind of a cool way. It wasn't the way that I wanted it as a kid, but I look back at that and go, wow, that was a pretty cool way for a church member to serve and to care about people who were coming to the church. And then I think about Wednesday nights just a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I was sitting in my office and Jim and I would have conversations and I would be going, we had five people here on Wednesday, seven people here on Wednesday. And we made a change that was different. It wasn't the same way that we had been doing it. We stopped doing the same thing and we changed. And over the last year, year and a half or so, we've had close to 90 people. We went from 15 people on a Wednesday to over in the 90s a lot of times. God's doing some great things. It's a different way. But I just thank God for him answering my prayer and going, there's got to be a better way. When you think about in your own personal life, maybe you have gotten into some ruts or you've gotten into some things that you've done over and over and you think, this is the way that I do it. Maybe you're rushed, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you're caught up on certain things and you're going, well, this is just how I am, this is just the way life is. And what I want us to see here in Scripture is that sometimes maybe it's about the way, not just our way. So I want you to grab your Bible and look in John chapter 14. We're going to look at some verses in John 14. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's word and you're able to do so, I invite you to do that. In John chapter 14, the first six verses are so challenging and it's words are in red, so we know this is Jesus talking. And as we dive into this, I just want you to focus in on what his word is saying. Verse 1 says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way where I am going." Verse 5 says, "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus told him in one of the most powerful verses in the scripture, look at what it says. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your guidance that we get from it. I thank you for your Holy Spirit's convicting power. And God, I pray that today, as we go through this message, that God, you would help us to see your way, that we would follow you, and that in each of our personal lives, that in our church, in each of our ministries, that God, you'd be honored and glorified, you'd be lifted up. And as we follow you the best we possibly can, God, I pray that you would continue to draw us to surrender to you. It's in your holy, your loving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are, as you continue to think about this, he's saying, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's a better way, and that way is Jesus. The way matters. Let me tell you this. Sometimes the way we say things matters. If you're married in the room, hands up. Let me see. You've got a husband or a wife. There you go. Hands are up. All right. The way we say things, husbands, matters. If I was going on a date with my wife and I called her and said, hey, get ready. I'm going to take you to somewhere super nice. We're gonna dress up. We're going to go to this really your favorite restaurant in all the world. And I come home and I ask the kids, hey, is mom ready? And they're like, yeah, she's upstairs getting ready. And I stand at the bottom of the stairs and she comes out of the bedroom and she's coming down the stairs. And I say, that's what you're wearing? That's going to elicit one response, right? Same scenario. She's up there. I come in. The kids are there. Hey, where's mom? She's upstairs getting ready. She comes out. I'm standing at the bottom of the stairs. She comes out and I say, ooh, that's what you're wearing? Whole different response, right? Whole different evening. Instead of going to McDonald's, we're going to somewhere super nice, right? We're going to have a great night. The way we say things matters. The way matters, right? The sometimes as Christians, it's interesting when we think about this verse, we focus on the other two things and not necessarily the way. We think the truth, that yeah, generally that's the main thing. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oftentimes we talk about that, but we don't really talk about the truth of Jesus. We rarely talk about the way of Jesus. When you really dig down in it and you really start looking at Scripture and you really start thinking about the way that Jesus lived, it can be very convicting. Because we go through life thinking about our way. And we think about what the world is telling us the way should be. And the way that we should be striving after things. And the way that we should be succeeding in life. And the way that we should be always hurrying and rushing and trying to accomplish and get more and earn more and live more and be more. And we look at the Scripture and we see Jesus lived a very different life. You know, in Scripture, first century Christians weren't called Christians. They weren't called religious. They weren't called Bible thumpers or Jesus freaks. They were called people of the way. And so I wonder if we, as we think through today, and we kind of leave here different, that maybe you think about, am I a person following the way, Jesus' way? When we look at Scripture and we think about what Jesus is saying, our goal is to live and to love the way that Jesus lived and loved. And so when you look in Scripture and you see how he loved and how he responded to people and how he went through his life, think about the way that Jesus lived and compare it maybe to some of the things that you allow yourself to be a part of. Jesus was full of joy. We see in Scripture, he was full of joy. And most of us are so full of stress that joy hardly comes in. We're stressed over where we're going to go, what's going to happen, how we're going to take care of problems, what's going to go through all this. And we look and we see Jesus filled with joy. Even in the most difficult of times, he was full of joy. He didn't worry. He didn't go through life with worries. And yet we go through life sometimes with so anxious and so worried about what's going to happen. In fact, the generation coming up has been labeled the most anxious generation in history. Yet we look at Scripture and Jesus never worried, didn't have to worry about it, even when the most difficult of circumstances. Jesus so filled with crowds of people all around him, teaching and preaching and doing miracles and living his life and ministering to people, and he stopped. There's times where he's on his way to something so important. Someone died, someone's sick, and someone grabs him and he stops. He stopped for people, even in the most extreme circumstances. And when we go through and we will leave and tomorrow we're faced with something and someone tries to stop us and we go, look, I'm in a hurry. I've got this place to be and I've got this to do and I've got to accomplish this task and I don't have time to stop and to listen to you. I'm so busy. I'm too stressed. When you think about how Jesus lived versus how we live sometimes, we don't have time to mess with somebody. I ain't got time for those small things. Yet Jesus did. Last week, I talked about Jesus being consumed with having fellowship with his Father. He took time away to pray all night at times, and he left a busy day of teaching and preaching to go up on the mountain to spend time alone with his Father. And yet, there are times where I'll begin praying, and less than 3 minutes in, I'll feel a buzz in my pocket. And I'll have to stop and look, oh, is this really important? I better check this. Or I'll hear a noise down the hallway of something that I need to go and take care of. And yet Jesus spent time consumed with his fellowship with his Father, following his Father, listening to his Father, communicating with his Father. When's the last time we spent hours in prayer? Last week, all night he prayed before major decision. Yet we go through life and it's, man, God, I need you to handle this. I need you to handle it real quick because I've got to be somewhere in 15 minutes. So will you please take care of that as I'm on my way out the door? Boom. Imagine if we stopped and began thinking about living the way that Jesus did, was different than often we live. When Jesus went places, when he ministered to people, he walked, he took his time, he listened. Yet often I find myself pushing my way through crowds, rushing to get to the next place that I need to go, feeling overwhelmed, feeling rushed, feeling like I just need to accomplish this task. It doesn't make me feel good about it when I look back. So my challenge as we continue through this is you would think about that, you would evaluate your heart, your life, your actions, the way that you live, the things that you've been saying, the ways that you've been living, and is the way, your way, Jesus' way? I think if we're honest, if we step back and evaluate, there are some times where we allow the culture and we allow this world to impact and to influence the way that we say things to people and the way that we react to people and the way that we look at people. So my challenge as we go through this is that you would think about the way you're doing life, your schedule, your pace, maybe your insecurities, maybe your unresolved hurts. Because when you look at Jesus and you think about, man, there wasn't any of that. What about your deepest fear? What is it you fear the most? What is it that's distracting you the most? Jesus, we see this prime example of him pointing to his Father, communicating with his Father, allowing it to impact the way that he lived, the things that he said, the actions that he took, the places that he ministered, the time that he took with people. And yet we find it often the opposite of push harder, drive harder, achieve more, conquer this, beat that, get the best out of it, flex on people. This is who I am. And Jesus is saying, hey, think about this, evaluate. Don't just show them what you got, but show them who he is. So there's a passage of scripture, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. You've heard this verse before. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. That's our way. I think I know how to make it happen. I know how to do this. This is the way. I'm gonna do it. This, I've got to achieve. I've got to be. I've got to accomplish. I've got to drive. In the end, it leads to death. When you think about what Scripture teaches us, it's often the opposite of what the world's thrown in our heads and in our hearts. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Look what Matthew chapter 11. Flip there. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me. This is words in red again. Come to me, Jesus talking, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke, a wooden cross piece, fastened over the neck of two animals and attached to a plow to do work, is a work tool. Two animals tied together. When you think about what Jesus is saying here in this scripture, is come to me when you're weary, when you're burdened, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling like everything is overwhelming you and the world's hitting you at all sides and you don't know how you're going to handle it and you've tried it your way and you're going your way and you feel exhausted and you feel like there's no end to this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to go. Come to me if you're weary and burdened. I will give you rest. But if you see what he's talking about there with the yoke, the tying of two animals together, when you there's no yoke that's just one. It's two, tying two animals. One, that way if one gets tired, the other one is pulling the weight and they kind of work together. And what Jesus is telling you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take his yoke, his way, follow him, draw close to him. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart and you'll find rest for your soul. We try to find rest by doing and achieving and accomplishing and fighting and going through life, going our way, our way, our way. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Follow my way. Follow me. Get close to me. If you tie yourself to Jesus, you can tie this yoke and you're side by side with him and you're listening to him and you're following his way. This is a difference. It's not me trying to do it my way. I don't know about you, but there's times where I can look back and I tried to do it my way. This is what I want. This is what I feel is right. This is the direction that I want to go. This is what I think. And if I stop and I say, God, I want to be tied to you. I want to be focused on you. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. Then I'll find this. If I'm weary, I'm burdened, I'll find rest. Isn't that what we're looking for? You go through and you're like, I just want to achieve more. I want to accomplish more. I want to be more. I want to do the best, be the best, and do what everybody's told me I should do all my life. But if you stop and go, you know what? God, I want your rest. Your life will be different. Your responses will be different. We tie ourselves to him. He's inviting us. Jesus is inviting us to a better way. Hey, be joined with me. We can go through life and try and do it and continue to try and do it on our own, or we can join and be joined with Jesus and say, I'm going to follow your way. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me through this. And you go, well, Jesus doesn't understand all the problems that I'm going through and all the stresses that I've had and all the things that I've got to deal with. You know, really? Last week we talked about this. Jesus had a pretty big assignment. Come and live the perfect life. Don't sin. Die for the sins of the whole entire world. And when we see his life, he disconnected and followed Jesus. He went away and kept communication with his heavenly Father, and it helped him as he lived the perfect life. And so what makes us think that we're any better than Jesus? He says, hey, I want to help you. I want to fight through this with you. I want to come alongside. I think there's some things that are in the notes if you have the app online. There's four or five things that really just talk about rhythms that we go through. And when you think about your life, I was thinking of my life and the hurried rhythms that we get in. I have to be here at this point. I have to accomplish this and by this time. I've got to make this happen. And we get into these hurried rhythms and we feel rushed and we feel stressed and we feel overwhelmed. And that's most of us think about the hurried lives that we live. And when we think about the way, an unhurried rhythm of grace, trusting that God has me, that God is leading me, that God is guiding me. As Christians, a lot of time we're overcome by different things, temptations, things that people press on us, and we feel far from God. We feel spiritually dry. We feel spiritually dull. And when we look at Jesus, and last week we talked about it, but his own unbroken fellowship with the Father, that when he had a big decision, when he had a problem that arose, when he had a busy day, he had this fellowship with the Father. But yet we find us a lot of times going through life with this broken fellowship. And we go, well, I prayed before I ate my meal, or I prayed with my family before they went to bed, or I prayed on Sunday morning when the service was going on that he would hurry up and be done with it.
Amen.
Bad time, Raj. Unbroken fellowship with the Father. We live these hurried life and broken lives, and yet God's telling us to have this unhurried rhythm and have this unbroken fellowship with him, and then the cluttered pursuit of God's mission. An uncluttered pursuit of God's mission. We can go through and have this preoccupied, distracted by all of the stuff that's hitting us, the stupid things in our lives that pull us and distract us and keep us down and keep us frustrated and keep us fighting for more things or less things or different things. What I think, what they want, what I want. And if we just, I wonder if today we say, God, I want to unclutter this pursuit of you. There's some things that are pulling to my attention. Things that I want my way in this, and I want to change this in my life, and maybe in my family, and in my relationships, and in my workplace, and all of these things start to clutter up my pursuit of God's mission. God wants me to follow him. He wants me to have this unbroken relationship with him, fellowship with him, and to not go through life hurried and stressed and worried about all this stuff. And so, God, I wonder if today we just pray and say, God, unclutter my pursuit of you. Help me to remove the things that are cluttering it up, that I can't see your way because of all these things that are placed in the way, these things that I'm striving after and I'm fighting after. And the last one that I would challenge you with is undivided attention. Growing up in Alaska, there wasn't a lot to do in the winter, and I struggle with kind of a attention problems. And I can remember my parents would do this a lot of times, but more often I would remember my grandmother. My grandmother would get down and get eye to eye with me as a little boy, and she would say, I need your undivided attention. And I'd be like, what does that mean, Grandma? What does that mean? Does that mean you want me to listen now? And she would also tell me that I hurt her hearing because I would talk too loud. I yelled and talked a lot. But I remember that term, this undivided, I need your undivided attention. Look me in the eye. And I wonder if today, when we get to the invitation time here in just a moment, if we would just say, God, you have my undivided attention, that I want to focus on you. I don't want there to be clutter in my pursuit of you. I don't want there to be hurry in my pursuit of you. I don't want this unbroken, this broken fellowship, but I want an unbroken fellowship with you. I want to be able to talk to you and to point my heart to you and to tell you what I'm really experiencing. And I want to follow your way, not my way. Because really, bottom line, we get to the end of it and we go, you know what? Jesus is looking you in the eye like grandma pulling my neck close and saying, hey, I need your undivided attention. You're distracted by this and you're distracted by that and you're pulled by this and you're pulled this way and I just need you to focus here. What would happen, church, if we pointed our hearts to the Lord and we said, God, I want to live an unhurried life. I want to follow you with everything. And you want you to show me the way. And I want to live with this unbroken fellowship. And that every day I'm going to communicate with you. And I'm going to point my heart to you. And I want you to show me how I should live. And when I'm faced with a struggle or a problem or a situation, I'm going to have communication with you. And I want that to be unbroken. God, show me how I should live, how I should respond. Unclutter this pursuit. God, give me clarity on what I should do, the way that I should live. Your way, not my way. It's so easy in this world to get caught up wanting to do it our way. God, I want this. I want to have my attention focused on you, that you would lead and guide me, that I would follow you. You ever just get tired of the grind, tired of the stress, tired, feeling miserable, feeling afraid, feeling alone, feeling angry, feeling like I just don't know what to do or how to respond to this or what's going to happen? There's got to be, listen, there's got to be a better way. I believe it's his way. Amen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. It gives me a different perspective that I'm focusing on him. Last week I read that verse, that be still and know that I'm God. That's a different life than this hurried life that we sometimes go through. I wonder, if you just got real with God and said, God, I've been doing it my way and I want to do it your way. I want you to show me. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. So we can go through life and feel stressed and struggle and hurt and feel like we don't know what's going to happen and how this is going to play out. Or we can just stop and say, God, I'm coming to you today. The altar is going to be open here in a moment. If you're watching online, you can just stop and just pray where you are and just surrender it to Jesus. Maybe you want to come to the altar and just say, God, I've been living this my way and I want to go your way. I've been stressed out. I've been struggling. I've been fighting through. I've been trying to do it things my way and I want to give it to you. I want to have this uncluttered, unhurried, unblocked view of you. God, I want you. I want to give you my undivided attention. I wonder if our lives would be different. I wonder if we would see things from a different perspective, if we would understand his way is different.